We're coming to the end of Dry January, where millions of Americans abstain from alcohol for the entire month. This yearly ritual again underscores the accumulating evidence that drinking alcoholic beverages, even in what are considered relatively small amounts, can be harmful to our health. William Brangham has the latest, including how Canada is considering radically revising its recommendations for drinking.
That's right. Canadian health authorities had previously said that a low-risk amount of alcohol was about 10 drinks per week. But just recently, a panel of advisors to the government, citing some of this research about alcohol's impacts, suggested lowering that to 2 drinks per week. For more on all of this, I'm joined by Dr. Tim Namey. He's an alcohol epidemiologist and the director of the University of Victoria's Canadian Institute for Substance Use Research. Dr. Namey, great to have you on the NewsHour. Before we get to this changing guidance, can you just remind our audience, what do we know about alcohol's impact on us?
Sure. Well, you know, alcohol is one of the leading behavior-related causes of health problems and deaths, and also some social problems and economic costs. Ranging from things like injuries and accidents to cancers and actually heart and cardiovascular disease. So it causes a wide range of health effects. And of course, those have been long appreciated at high levels of consumption, but even for some lower levels as well.
And it also has impacts on our mental health as well, I take it.
Yeah, well, there's a really complicated but important relationship between alcohol and things like depression and anxiety in particular. So, yes, so alcohol may play a causal role in those, but can certainly also, you know, exacerbate or make worse existing mental health conditions, particularly depression.
I want to talk about dosage for a second. You mentioned this in passing, but is it true that these harmful effects go up the more you drink? So a little bit is better than a moderate amount is better than a large amount?
Exactly right. You know, when it comes to health, less is more. And that's actually the main message stemming from the new Canadian guidelines. It's not that anyone needs to get down to a number. We know that the lowest level of risk is associated with a really small amount of alcohol, as little as 2 drinks per week is the lowest risk. But the main message behind the new Canadian guidelines and the main message, and this is, I think, is consistent with other guidelines, the big point to keep in mind is no matter what level you drink at, that consuming less will be good for health. And we really want to reach out to people. And I think this is, we're talking about the public health community broadly, not just to people who are already drinking a little bit and might cut back further, but people, you know, if you're drinking 6 or 7 drinks a day and you can cut down to 3 or 4, that would be, you know, fantastic for your health. So just want to kind of reach a broad spectrum of drinkers. That's the basic idea.
It still must come as a bit of a shock that something that is so widely accepted in our society can be implicated in cancer and heart disease and all of these other things. I mean, I think people think of drunk driving and they understand that it may be drunk and violence and things like that. But cancer and heart disease, do you think that the public fully appreciates those risks?
Right, William. Well, I think you're right. I think people are aware of, you know, sort of impaired driving and crashes. They're aware of maybe, cirrhosis of the liver, and maybe they're aware of like fetal alcohol spectrum, you know, birth defects and so forth. But I think they're much less aware of cardiovascular disease, and particularly in terms of the risk of cancer. I should mention that alcohol is actually considered a class 1 carcinogen or cancer-causing agent by the World Health Organization. So that's the same category as benzene and tobacco smoke. And some studies estimate that a drink of alcohol has about the same cancer-causing potential as 1 to 2 cigarettes, depending on your sex. You know, as an example, the risk of breast cancer goes somewhere between 8% and 10% increased with each additional drink that a woman consumes per day on average. So that's an important thing. And we know from surveys that only a small fraction of the population understands the cancer link.
Help me understand, though, it feels like we've been getting some conflicting guidance. I think many people remember being told that moderate amounts of drinking for certain people can be beneficial. There was that infamous study years ago that red wine was good for your heart. Have those gone by the wayside now?
Even for those studies, above very small amounts of alcohol, the risk started to increase. So it's really an argument about, you know, how low is that point? So broadly speaking, I think the science is consistent that sort of less is better down to very low amounts. Yeah, I do think some of that science has gone by the wayside. And without getting deep into the weeds, the basic idea there is that somebody, for example, a red wine drinker in their 50s who's been drinking just a small amount for their whole life is actually somebody, those people tend to be super healthy and have a lot of social advantages. And so maybe their red wine is a reflection of that, but not its cause. And that's the basic problem with the previous research on that.
As I mentioned, a lot of Americans are doing this dry January. Is there any evidence that stopping for a 30-day window is useful?
Well, it depends what you're going for, right? I think the main idea behind dry January, or this year damp January, seems to be in fashion, which is cutting back, but not stopping completely. In a way, these are sort of experiential versions of what most of the guidelines around the world are recommending, which is to sort of cut back on your drinking. And some people may experience immediate changes. I mean, the main idea is just to explore doing sort of things or activities or people that are less alcohol centric, if you will. Some people get some sleep benefits immediately. Some, depending on how much they are drinking, may lose some weight. But the idea is to explore it. There is some evidence that even 6 months later, people who don't intend to continue will be drinking a bit less than they were in start of the January. So there may be sort of the idea is here for us just sort of to do a check on one's relationship with alcohol and maybe a bit of a reset after what is always the heaviest drinking time of the year in the U.S.
All right, Dr. Tim Namey at the University of Victoria, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's great to be on NewsHour. Thanks for having me.